Yo, what's going on, people, and welcome back to the Blockchain Enterprises podcast. I'm your host, GrowDigi, and the aim of this podcast is to show you how anyone can start a business, find their dream job, or develop a revenue stream in this emerging blockchain industry. Most, if not all of our guests, started with just an idea, a few hundred dollars, and a Twitter account. Before we meet today's guest, here's a quick word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you in assistance with our sponsors Crypto.com and YouHodler. Our first sponsor, Crypto.com, is a well-established platform, and their mobile app offers the following features. A built-in exchange that lets users buy and sell 7 fiat and over 50 cryptocurrencies. A tiered debit card system that allows users to earn crypto cashback. Crypto Earn, which is a simple interest program allowing users to earn interest on any deposits held on the platform. And so much more, including their free for free promotion. You can check out the link in the description below for a $50 sign up bonus. So go ahead and sign up today. Our second sponsor, YouHodler, is a fintech platform focused on crypto-backed lending with fiat, crypto, and stablecoin loans available. Users are able to perform crypto to fiat and crypto to crypto conversions, as well as open high-yield savings accounts for any crypto deposits. The platform supports the top 20 coins and tokens, and the app can be found online at youhodler.com or via Android or iOS applications. Sign up today to try their original multi-hodl tool, which is a unique feature powered by crypto-backed loans, and it helps users take advantage of crypto market volatility in either direction. With fewer fees than other margin trading platforms and an overall clean and simple look, multi-hodl is an efficient way to multiply your crypto portfolio. You can check out the link in the description below to get more info or sign up to their platform. Today we are joined by Piers Ridyard, the CEO at Radix. Radix DLT is building a decentralized finance protocol that provides access, liquidity, and programmability of any asset in the world on the blockchain. So let's go ahead and speak with Piers. What's going on, people, and welcome back to the Blockchain Enterprises podcast. Today we're joined by Piers from the Radix project. Thank you very much for joining us. How are you, Piers?
I'm very good. Thank you for having me on your show.
My pleasure. Before we actually talk about the Radix project, do you want to tell us a little bit about your background and how you got involved in crypto?
Sure. It's sort of a very meandering path. I originally went to university to do aerospace engineering. I changed to Chinese and business, went and lived in China for a year, came back, did my CFA, my Chartered Financial Analyst exams, went and worked in investment banking for a really short period, realized that I didn't want to be an investment banker, got a training contract in law, did my GDL, my LPC in law, accidentally started a consumer electronics company, built that up into an international enterprise, had to go to China and set up a manufacturing line and all that kind of stuff. And then from there, got into cryptocurrency mining via a friend of mine who had just heard about Ethereum. It hadn't launched yet, but was like, hey, we should probably mine this on the Genesis block. And I was like, I don't know what mining is. Tell me what mining is. And that was my first entry into, so 2014, late 2014, early 2015, that was my first entry into crypto.
Wow.
And it was sort of, it was an interesting one because it was like, it was just such a wonderful overlap of the things that I'd already mm-hmm. done. Like it was quite a mathsy area, and I just a little bit of a maths geek. It's sort of very much in the finance space, and it's very much sort of like has a strong crossover in law, and it goes all the way down to hardware. Mm-hmm. Like you have to build things, you've got to run things. At least back then it was much more around like mining rigs. Mm-hmm. Now it's much more around, you know, cloud services and proof of stake. But like, though, it just felt like my space. I was like, this is the place I want to be. This overlaps with so much I've done so far. This is amazing.
It sounds like a very interesting journey. And like you mentioned, there's so many overlaps of your previous experiences that are meeting up in this one industry, which leads on to our next question. So we mentioned in the intro that you're from the Radix project. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the project itself and what your role is there?
Sure. So Radix is the decentralized finance protocol. It is a layer one protocol built especially for decentralized finance. I am the CEO of Radix. I joined the company and the team at the end of 2017. Radix itself has been running since early 2013, initially as a research and development project that became sort of commercialized in the middle of 2017. And sort of became a sort of a proper entity. And I came on as CEO shortly after that, and have been with the company, building out the team and all of that kind of good stuff since then.
Fantastic. For any of our listeners who are not aware about Radix, do you want to tell us a little bit about the features available on the platform and what services are available?
Sure. So, I mean, if you're familiar with Ethereum, Ethereum is a general purpose public ledger. It's designed for you to just be able to program sort of whatever you want onto the public ledger and then let it run. And so people have tried it building a lot of different things, like some private ledger, like the Ethereum Enterprise Association went down that route. And then some things on the public ledger, and like it's been everything from futures markets to, you know, game tokens like CryptoKitties to what we're now seeing, like some real traction around decentralized finance. What Radix fundamentally does is it takes these building blocks, like public, trustless, decentralized ledger, as like your fundamental underlying security model, like creating a permissionless system that anyone can come and build anything on, and then those things can interoperate, but specifically focused on making it ideal for decentralized finance. Mm-hmm. And the reason that that's an important thing to do is for finance, because it's money critical, because like things can break, and if they break, they're really expensive. Like it's not just, oh, it's a bug, we'll patch it. It's a, oh, it's a bug and we've just lost $100 million. Mm-hmm. You have to build in a very different way to the way that Ethereum was fundamentally built. And that's for two reasons. One is security and safety of the system. And the other is making it scale, as in making it work for a global audience for that particular use case. And unfortunately, that's really where Ethereum falls down. Like we're already seeing the cost of using Ethereum for DeFi at costing like above $100 mm-hmm. for a transaction, which is like crazy. Okay. And then Ethereum 2.0 doesn't solve the problems for DeFi. It breaks some of these core technology requirements like composability, the ability to call two applications at the same time. And if one of them fails, they should both fail. Like fundamental things that make DeFi the beautiful, incredibly interlocked application sort of protocol network that it is, like these scalability solutions that are coming down the road are breaking those. And so Radix has built a new type of ledger that is specifically designed and engineered to make DeFi work for everyone in the world.
Wow, I think that's very interesting. As you mentioned, Ethereum wasn't made for this model. DeFi has just been built on top. I think the interesting thing you mentioned about Radix is specifically built for a decentralized finance-based model. So it'll be very interesting to see how you guys grow in the next couple of months and years. In terms of our listeners out there, we always like to promote the benefits of, you know, starting their own crypto startup or working at a blockchain platform. It's always very interesting to hear what a typical working day or week looks like for a CEO. So do you want to tell us a little bit about how that looks on a week-to-week or day-to-day basis?
That's a good question. It's a difficult one to answer. Like a lot of crypto lives in social media. Mm-hmm. So I spend quite a lot of my time in sort of Telegram and in Twitter. And that's sort of where you get the flow of the market. Yeah. There is obviously the trading that happens on exchanges, but like what actually is the pulse of the market? Like some of that comes through news sites, but a lot of it is actually just the interplay of discussions that are constantly going on things like Telegram and Twitter. So that's like a good place to just keep your finger on the pulse, especially at this stage now where things are moving just so quickly for DeFi. Mm-hmm. There often almost isn't enough time to report on something before the next thing is sort of moved on. So that's an important aspect of understanding. I spend a decent amount of my time looking at sort of resourcing and recruitment and what our current team members need, what we're going to need in the future, like how to plan out the next month, 6 months, a year, on what our development goals are. Mm-hmm. I spend a decent amount of my time talking with potential token buyers and going and like pitching Radix to people as potential partners, potential people who could be users of our system. And then sort of just basically firefighting or jumping into where I'm most needed. Like for me, a CEO's role is as much enablement of your team as it is like actually executing things yourself. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is making sure that everyone's singing from the same hymn sheet and moving in the right direction, whilst giving people the autonomy of actually being able to make their own decisions. And so that's always like no week looks the same.
Yeah.
But the underlying sort of consistency there is a single vision or a single goal. And then there's like a million tasks that sit under that. Mm-hmm. And you're sort of just looking at the shape of how things are progressing and just making sure if something's falling behind or something needs particular intervention or there needs to be something you need to get out from the external world to bring into the company, be that partners, resources, or staff, or new partners. That's ultimately your responsibility.
Fantastic. I mean, I think you make a really excellent point there about having to do so many things. And one of the underlying themes we find from interviewing CEOs or founders of blockchain-based projects is it's tough building a project in this industry. What advice could you give to any of the listeners out there who are interested in launching their own crypto startup?
I would say learn from the market. Mm-hmm. Very carefully. Like you get like before you decide to build the thing you're going to build, realize that community defines projects in their early days and in their later days. It's such a public enterprise. Like if you don't actually understand why what you're doing is going to be interesting to a subsection mm-hmm. of the crypto community, then your product isn't going to be hugely successful. And you know, the difference between 2017 and now is in many cases, if you're thinking about building a decentralized finance application, for example, in many cases, it's sort of you ship the application first mm-hmm. and then you like build the team and raise the funds after.
Yeah.
And like you have to be super close. You have to build a community of people that care about what you're doing. And you do that by talking with them very carefully and understanding how what your idea fits into what the crypto community cares about at that point.
Mm-hmm.
There are obviously some really important things that can be done outside of that. But if you want to right now, if you want to move quickly and take advantage of the how the market is currently moving, you really have to be on the pulse of what's important and what's not important right now. And like, there's lots of ways you can mess up in how you do your token distribution, in how you do your, in how you, how much you include the people that you want to be your first customers in mm-hmm. telling you how to build the thing. Like, it's all of the truths that you normally hear about in building a company in the sort of the traditional space, i.e. go and talk to your customer, but like can significantly accelerated because your customer is also your community, and your community are going to be the ones that are most likely to cause or cause to fail your application. So you can't believe that you're just going to build something great, ship it, and everyone's going to come mm-hmm. to it. You've got to be listening to your customer and actually understanding what your product is addressing as something desirable or a need. Like in some cases, things like, you know, YAM, finance, or YFI or YFI or whatever it's, however it's pronounced.
Yeah.
These are, it's not like it addresses a problem so far as it harnesses a superpower of DeFi and accelerates it. But like it picked up traction because it did a lot of things right. It wasn't just because it harnessed a superpower of DeFi. It also like got the FOMO around how it was launched right. It got the community buzz around it right. Mm-hmm. It got the way it did its distribution right. There's lots of things that you really have to get right beyond just the technology. And I think that's, for me, the key takeaway of building in DeFi at the moment.
I couldn't agree more. And I think you make some excellent points in terms of being in tune with your customer before you launch your product rather than trying to force that on them. And also moving with the times, crypto, you know, trends change so quickly. You know, it's always important to be in tune with what the actual trend of the market is at the time and develop accordingly. Which leads us on to our next question. In terms of, you know, you mentioned that the Radix was launched in 2013 and has been growing since, and you joined the team in 2017. How has the team grown since you joined the platform, and how many employees are currently working at Radix?
So Radix was started as a research and development project. I wouldn't mm-hmm. say it was launched in 2013. Yeah. It was Dan on his own in Stoke-on-Trent. Mm-hmm. Dan's the founder and CTO of the company, and he had this insight into sort of a future gazing insight. Bitcoin was great, which was the only real coin that was going at the time, you know, that he got into. He got into Bitcoin in 2012, and by 2013 he'd been like, okay, this is great, but it's going to break. It's not going to work for the world. And it's not going to work for the world because of how it's architected, and basically it's just not scalable enough for everyone to be able to use it. We're going to have to change that if we want this technology to have the impact that it possibly can. And so in 2013, that research and development project started fundamentally looking at the really difficult computer science problems that are associated with building distributed, decentralized, permissionless systems mm-hmm. that are capable of doing, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of transactions per second in a public environment. Yeah. I joined in 2017, at the end of 2017, and it was still only, you know, three people at that point. And it joined at a very interesting point in the life of crypto, because 2017, obviously, we all know is when the insane bull run, ICO bull run occurred. And so I joined in a really exciting time. We built our team, you know, from then on to now. Mm-hmm. But we were always quite careful in how we built our team. We realized that to build great technology takes time. And the most important thing you can think about is the resourcing of your company, because we knew that times weren't always going to be amazing. You know, 2017, very easy to just sort of like scoop money out of the air. Yeah. But that you had to be able to create longevity in what you were building, because fundamentally, you can't just solve tomorrow's problem. You have to be able to solve the problems 10 years, 20 years down the line. And that would take more work, more research, more development before we got to the point where we'd be like, yeah, we understand fundamentally how to build this technology and also what this technology is good for. So we built our team up, and we're now 19 staff.
Wow.
You know, majority development staff. Mm-hmm. And for building fundamental like technology, that's often what you want, is a relatively small team of very, you know, smart individuals that can work in a close-knit fashion.
Yeah.
So not too many people involved in the innovation process tends to mean that you're able to move faster rather than sort of very big teams. It's only when you get to the point where you're like, right, we now need to productionize this code, do you need to start thinking about really building out the team. And that's sort of what we've recently started to do.
Fantastic. If anyone listening out there is interested in working for Radix, what kind of qualities do you look for in a potential employee, and where could they find any job vacancies that you currently have?
So we are currently hiring. If you go to radixdlt.com, so radixdlt.com, and you scroll to the bottom, you can find our links to jobs. We have a couple of Java roles available, and we're shortly going to be coming out with a very exciting new role of chief architect. And we've also got a head of community role open. And the qualities we look for is, first and foremost, you have to be passionate about crypto. Like, you have to like the industry, be excited about the technology, and fundamentally believe in its mission, which is a very grand mission. It's like we are in the process of reshaping the very way in which finance is built, the way in which the world economy eventually will function. And in many ways, if the internet was the information revolution, this is the money revolution, mm-hmm. or the value revolution. And that has to excite you as a message. That's sort of first and foremost. Secondly, we look for people who fall into a category of what I would say is strong ideas weakly held. Like, you have to be able to synthesize complex data, come to a decision on a route forwards, but not be so tied to your ideas that you can't be swayed. That was one of the first things that I noticed about Dan, and one of the like huge reasons I wanted to come and work with him, was he was ferociously intelligent, but also humble about his intelligence, and would always be open to discuss things through and see things from other people's perspective, and be willing to have his mind changed. And that's crucial. Like, you have to be analytical, you have to be but you have to also not be so arrogant that you think you've always got the right answer, because the only way you can build these highly complicated systems is through collaboration with other people. You can't just do the lift on your own. And so those are the two things that we're really looking for, like huge interest, curiosity in the crypto space, and someone who is willing to like put ideas forwards, but also very willing to like collaborate and discuss those ideas. And then obviously like all of the other things you'd expect, like you have to understand how to build these kind of high criticality systems, have to have a very good approach, logical approach to how you structure code, how you build your code, be comfortable with things like writing unit tests, writing smoke tests, building that into how you build your test and expect to have high code coverage in what you do there, and like be familiar with working in sort of Kanban or Scrum environment so that you can collaborate around the building of code in a sort of a dynamic fashion. Like, none of these are new things. Like, these are things that most developers will be hugely familiar with. And then on the community side, again, same thing. Like, got to be super passionate about crypto. Got to be like super willing to both have strong ideas about things, but be willing to have your mind changed, and like just love the cut and thrust of the crypto space and being like in the community, in the Telegram channels, in the Twitter channels, and be part of that very fast paced environment. But if that sounds like you on either side, we'd love to have a further conversation.
Fantastic. So there you have it, guys. For anyone listening, please feel free to apply. The links will be in the description where we put the podcast out. And just wrapping up here, Piers, I mean, it's been very interesting to hear your story, how you got involved in crypto, how the Radix platform has developed since you joined. Before we go, one question we always like to ask our guests is, where do you see the biggest opportunities for growth over the next couple of years in this industry?
I mean, DeFi. Like, looking at what's happened in the last 90 days, we've sucked in $3.5 billion of assets in the last 90 days. And it's growing a billion a week now.
Wow.
And we're only just getting started. Like, there's $250 billion of crypto assets that currently exist. Mm. And more ones are being created every day, and they are all feeding into the DeFi space, and that's hugely exciting. But like, I don't think this is going to stop with crypto anymore. Like, DeFi is fundamentally the unbundling of banking services, is the unbundling of finance, it's the creation of financial products from on-ledger assets, and on-ledger assets don't have to just be crypto native. Like, we already have like crypto gold, and we already have stable coins. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like $12 billion of dollars that are literally sitting in bank accounts, but represented on top of public ledgers that are being used at huge volumes in DeFi today. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Like, cash is the first level of the pyramid. But pyramid's probably the wrong word. Cash is the first block, building block of financial systems, because you always need something that you can settle into. But once you start bringing in more assets, like, you know, bring in stocks and shares and bonds and things like that, there's no reason that you can't have permissioned assets on a permissionless ledger. Like, those two things can coexist. I can have a stock in Apple on top of a public ledger, as long as it adheres to the rules and the regulations that surround that. But as soon as we start working out ways of having these hybrid systems that allow you to have DeFi-like functionality, but around permissioned assets, or like assets that require a little bit more legal overlap, I think, you know, $250 billion is going to look like a drop in the bucket. I think there's a huge amount of headway to go.
I couldn't agree more, and I think, you know, the public hasn't even heard about this yet. So the actual DeFi craze or boom, whatever you want to call it, has not even started yet. We're literally just in its infancy.
Right.
And I think it bodes very well for platforms and protocols like Radix, who are just gaining traction very early on in a growing market that, yeah, literally has endless. Literally, there's no limitation, as you mentioned. 250 billion will seem like, you know, peanuts. As we wrap up here, Piers, in case anyone's interested in getting a bit more information about the website or contacting yourself, do you want to tell us a little bit about more where we can find Radix, and also how they can contact you on any socials?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you go to our website, radixdlt.com, you'll find a huge amount of information about the company, the team, white papers, Our blog's got loads of really interesting content that we've sort of produced over a pretty long period of time. You can follow us on Twitter at RadixDLT. You can follow me on Twitter at Piers Ridyard. That's PIERSRIDYARD. You can come and join our Telegram channel, which you can find the links to on our webpage. Or you can, you know, send us an email, hello@radixdlt.com, if you like the more traditional approach. We are open to all communication methods. But yeah, if you hear anything that you thought was interesting or like want to ask some more clarification or are interested in buying tokens or whatever, please get in contact. Very, very happy to talk.
Fantastic. Right. Well, thank you very much for taking the time out of your day to talk about your project and your journey in blockchain. It'll be very interesting to see the growth of your project over the next couple of months. So we'd love to have you back on sometime in the future.
Awesome.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Piers.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Blockchain Enterprises podcast. We hope you can get inspired from Piers' story and his advice. If you wish to get more information, you can check out his socials or message him on Twitter in the links provided below. Finally, if you're interested in learning more about how to generate revenue streams in the crypto space, or if you're interested in becoming a sponsor of our podcast, then visit our website at www.blockchainenterprisespodcast.com.